So going back to the TRC Commission, so the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I have Alex Berain on the line with me. And just to give you a bit of a backstory, he was born in 1931 in Cape Town. And in 1950, at the age of 19, he started his career as a Methodist minister. He's most famous for proposing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, as well as being its vice chair, alongside Archbishop Desmond Tutu from 1996 to 1998. And then from 1998, he served as a professor of law at New York University and as the director of the New York University Law School's Justice in Transition program. So, Mr. Berain, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. All right, Mr. Berain, in case I left anything out in my introductions, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, indeed. My name is Alex Berain. I was born into a very poor family and struggled a bit, and I left when I was about 15, but try to pick up from there, work hard, and manage to have a decent and good education, lots of interesting work, and now I'm retired.
So, what got you involved in justice and law?
When I was I was in Parliament for 12 years as an opposition member of Parliament. And the real reason why I went there was because the apartheid policies of the former government were so bad and so tough and inhuman. And I thought that we desperately used and needed to work for justice. And I suppose one of the ways is to change the laws to improve the situation. So I was very interested in doing that for the rest of my life.
And so from there, how did you get involved with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and how did that start?
Well, after the talks to try to end the conflict in South Africa between the National Party and the ANC, a lot of very important people sat around the table trying to work out a new constitution. But there were thousands of people who suffered under the apartheid policies and discrimination on the basis of race. So I just felt that we needed a place where they could feel safe and could tell their story and could be heard, because they were denied that for so long. So that's how we first began to think about it, and it went on for, as you know, for 2-3 years, and it was a very traumatic experience.
So what made you want to get involved and propose the Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
Well, Nelson Mandela appointed the commissioners, and he appointed me as vice chairman and Desmond Tutu as chairman, and we worked together extremely well together with some other commissioners. And so it was really up to the president who got me involved, rather than my own choice. But I was very glad, because to listen to people who had suffered enormously and had never had a place to tell their stories, I think it's so important in life to look at the past, not to live in it, but to deal with it. And that's what we tried to do and build a picture for all of us.
So how do you think the Truth and Reconciliation Commission affected people?
Well, there were over 20,000 people who appeared before the commission. Most of them were black, because most of those who had suffered under the racial policies. We fortunately had it open to the public, which meant that a lot of people came along to the meetings. Secondly, it's open to television and radio, which meant that the whole of South Africa knew what was happening and listened to those stories and listened to the responses. And I'm sure we made mistakes, and I'm quite sure we didn't do everything that we should have been doing, but it was a very much a healing process, and the country needed that quite desperately after many years of conflict and violence. So I think good thing to to have the commission, but I'm quite sure that we still have a long way to go.
What was it like working with Desmond Tutu?
It was such a pleasure. He is an icon. He is such a strong moral force in South Africa. And we had known each other before, but we really got to know each other very well. Working on the commission, we were hardly at home. We were almost living with each other rather than our wives. But it was such a pleasure and an honor to work with him, and he's a wonderful man.
How did this whole experience affect you as a person?
Well, you know, it was very traumatic and pretty grim listening to people who had been falsely imprisoned, people had lost loved ones, people had loved ones who left the country to fight the opponent outside the country. And it was night and day. So it really was quite a sobering, challenging time. But I wouldn't have missed it because it was very much a slice of South African life which needed to happen. I was very proud and privileged to have been a part of it.
So today I'm with the RX Radio, and it's for the children inside the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. And from your experiences, what advice would you give the kids in the hospital?
I think one has to have a set of values, and I would wish for all the children, and especially the children at Red Cross, that they never allow the illness to dominate their lives. Certainly they must never stand on the side. They must take part, however small that part may be. And I'm hoping that the children that you are caring for will have a very joyous and happy Christmas and a wonderful new year and good health.
And what do you think of RX Radio?
Well, I think it's great. I'm sorry we couldn't do it face-to-face, but I think you're doing a very good job, and it's very clear. Questions were very good. So I'm very impressed, and well done.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I just wish that I could be there and see some of the children and so on. They're very close to my heart. I have four children, seventh grandchildren, so I love them dearly, and I know how tough it is when people are ill and facing adversity, and I just wish them all the very best in the future.
Well, Dr. Varane, thank you so much for joining me today on the line, and thank you so much for all the work you've done for this country.
It's a great pleasure and a great privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
We're now going to go back to the music in the top 20. It's number 3.